this opportunity to share the message here. Second, on behalf of the Light of Life Christian Church, I would like to thank those who bring food and support in our Friday night fellowship meeting. Well, we main focus and us for the student. I would thank Victor Payne, especially who continuously participated in our Sunday night English Bible study. We have brothers, sisters from in Malaysia, and some of them come from the local. Really thanks, Victor. So there are many roles to play in our life. Oops, I'm sorry. I should control, right? Which one? Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I sent to you, right? Okay. And preaching. Sorry about that. Was miscommunication. If you click the date, will be the today's date. Great, thank you. Oops. Let me see. This. Oh, okay. There are many roles in our life, but which one is important and has the priority? When I studied in the Columbia International University in the seminary, the motto of CIU was, but I think still is, yeah, to know him and to make him known. I think the former is about the life, and the later is about the living. So to know Christ implies we need to have a true life in Christ or a deep relationship with him. In John 17:3, Jesus prayed that this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And to make him known means the purpose of our lives is to bear witness to Christ. Please note that church membership is not equal to knowing Christ and making him known. In short, our life is to glorify God. One day, there's a man saw a lady standing at a traffic light holding a sign. The man guesses that it might be written as a need for food or money. And he drove the car close to the woman. The word of the sign is surprising because it read, "Your life, you live, with a purpose. You live with a purpose. So God created each one of us with a specific purpose. That is, we were created to glorify God. That's a purpose. We create to give glory to God. In Ukraine, people have kept many wonderful traditional during Christmas traditions. There's a custom that echoes the night the Savior came. When a family offers that their Christmas Thanksgiving prayers, the head of a family says, "Christ is born." And the family responds, "Let's glorify him." So I think many of us have read the Psalm 19. And we know that even the heavens are telling the glory of God. So how can we, as his beloved children, not to glorify him? So, if we keep our eyes on God and do his will, our life will never be boring. Example, John the Baptist came out of the wilderness to testify that Jesus is the light of the world. We too can testify of this true light today, right? As Jesus told us in Matthew 5:16, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that we may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." I think there's many ways to glorify God, such as caring for the needs of others and being diligent in serving others. I just saw that the video, the Honduras. We've been there and, you know, give them food and sharing the gospel. I think back in 2012, I saw the Tin Kwan. We've been to Cambodia, right? We serve, we help them. It's so poor. In Honduras, it's a family we visit. You know, they have a skylight. No. That's just, not the square one. You know, the rain can come in, but you can see the sky. So, yeah, many ways, but what will Jesus do? WBJD, yeah. Jesus did care of people's need. Well, we know, but he cares most of their soul. When he died on the cross for our sins, he shows the greatest glory of God. Right? In John 17:4, he said, "I glorify you, Father, on the earth by accomplishing the work which you have given me to do." Therefore, if we accomplish the work Jesus has given us to do, that's to obey the great commissions, we glorify God. Okay, we have read this passage, thanks, Tim. And the background of this chapter starts from the resurrection of Jesus. See, the message of the gospel rests on the death of Jesus, on the cross, and his resurrection. In 1 Corinthians 15, 1 to 8, that's what Paul announced. He declared this is the gospel. So this explains why Luke placed the climax of this gospel on the appearance of the Lord after resurrection. When believers find out that the Lord is alive, their lives are significantly changed. I think that's what we should show them. Therefore, in 1 Corinthians 15, 17 and 19, it says, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. If we have hope in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. So Luke records that two of the Lord's disciples, they were walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus, and they were frustrated because they did not believe that the Lord had risen as the women had reported. They used to hope that the Lord would restore Israel, the country, but their hope was shattered because the Lord died and they did not understand why Christ suffered. When the risen Jesus walked with them and explained the Bible to them, and Jesus fully understood that their real problem was not with their mind, but within their hearts. Their fundamental problem was that they did not believe everything the prophets wrote about Messiah, which was also the problem of most Jews at that time. When you read the Old Testament, they only focus on success and victory. Like today, many Christians, so-called, okay. And they ignore suffering. For example, the Old Testament talking about the prophets, they were rejected and suffered, and many were killed. So they saw the crown, but not the cross. The lesson is this. The more we understand the Bible, I think the more we will walk with the Lord like the two disciples, the more burning in their heart will be. So if we know the truth more, and we walk with the Lord, like the two disciples, the more burning our hearts will be. So let's look at verse 44. So this verse establishes the continuity between the past fact and the present fact in the history of Israel. the past fact is God's salvation does exist in Israel history. The quote, present fact is that Jesus' resurrection was just known in Jerusalem. So also we know that in 45 and 46, that Jesus declared in Luke chapter 16, 31, remember the rich man and Lazarus. And Jesus said, if they do, the brothers of this rich man, if they do not listen to Moses and prophets, they will not persuade even if someone rises from the dead. So that's a problem. They don't accept that whatever says in the Old Testament. So then in 44 to 47, to not believe in the resurrection of Jesus is to misunderstand the Bible itself. In other words, the death and resurrection of Jesus are true events that give the Bible the right meaning. Note that in verse 47, this verse should be understood in terms of Jesus' final commission to the disciple in Acts 1:8. In Acts 1:8, well, a lot of people can even recite. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witness both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remote part of the earth. So this verse is referenced also to Isaiah 49:6. So this is the beginning of the church, the messianic age of the church. Starts from the coming of the Holy Spirit promised by Jesus on the day of Pentecost. And after that, the gospel of repentance and forgiveness of sins was first preached in Jerusalem. Remember that Peter, when he filled with Holy Spirit, when he spoke, 5,000 men believed. So, the importance of the Holy Spirit is this, I think for this, after that, Pentecost, this is very important. This is age. This is the age of Holy Spirit working in among all the people. So you see, the spread out of gospel by the Holy Spirit-filled disciples, that showed the power from the above. That's the verse 49, right? The power from above. Well, how can people change? The answer, only the Holy Spirit can transform people. This is a real relief for us that we are not to rely on our own, but rely on Holy Spirit, the power of Holy Spirit. And our responsibility is just to make sure we preach the true gospel and his words. That's a relief. I think a side note, quick. Okay. Oops. Okay, back to the page. The contextualization. Yeah. Sorry. I pushed it wrong. A sign though that we need to consider contextualization of his words. When we confront a different culture, we may need a time to familiarize with it and check it with the Bible. Every culture, we need to check it with the Bible. In 1 Corinthians 9, verse 22, Paul said, I have become all things, all people, that by all means I may save some. The key of the teaching is not to compromise the gospel, rather to prepare the heart of the believers to accept the gospel. For example, we all know Hudson Taylor, right? When he was in China in 18th century, the first thing he did was to look like a Chinese. Well, he wanted to identify with Chinese like Jesus wanted to identify with Jewish people. Actually, with all the people. But there's many obstacles in evangelism. For example, to date, many Chinese are against Christian faith. Why? Because they believe the faith is essentially in conflict with worshiping their ancestors. Many Chinese believe that. So we as a Christian, we're struggling with this issue. So I pray that the message of the resurrected Jesus and our future resurrection and being with our beloved one forever in heaven may be the key to open the closed door. So how people can change? How people change? Well, when Holy Spirit works in a person's heart and that person responds to God with confession and repentance. As John 16:8 remind us, the person is changed. How does this work? I have no idea. All I know is that in John 3:8, Jesus declared, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of wind, but you do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Jesus cares of our souls way more than any other things. Do you care of people's soul more than anything? 2 Peter 3:9, it says, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise as some count slowness, but is patient toward you or on your account, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. So when a person is born, God gives this person equal and every opportunities to turn back and believe in him. And God counts on every Christian to be the messenger of the gospel. If we do not treasure the opportunity of making him known and making his disciples, we will not be his good and faithful servants. We cannot glorify him. Worse yet, maybe on the final judgment day, well, Jesus may say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lostlessness, because we did not obey the will of my Father who is in heaven. Brother, sister, do not run a risk before God. We will definitely lose. God never gambles. So every Christian needs to care about people's soul more than anything. We must obey his command, making disciples of all nations. And this passage today focus also on all nations. First, see, we needed to preach the gospel. We needed to preach the repentance and forgiveness. And then we should focus on all nations. And also, we need outreach to every tribe on the earth, as much as possible. But today, I want to focus on enriched people group, UPGS, including the engaged, enriched people group, UUPGS. I think you know that. Well, the following slides, I use some of the resources, most of the resources from the East-West, this website, and some of the statistics is from their information. According to Joshua Project, a people group is considered enriched based on the following criteria. There's less than 2% of evangelical Christians. Less than 2%. Second, less than 5% Christians adherent. So that means one who claims any form of the Christian religion among this people group. See, of more than 7.7 billion people on planet Earth, well, I Googled, I found that today there's close 8 billion. Anyway, it's about 3.2 billion are considered enriched or at least reached. There are more than 7,000 people groups are classified as enriched. There's a staggering 41.7% of the total population. Well, but if you raise the population and the 3.1 billion also raise a little bit, well, it's about 40%, okay? So within this 7 UPGs, there's 3,050 are considered UUPGs. So UUPG is a people group with no known active church planting underway. No known active church planting underway. So it is estimated that there are 278 million people around the world is about 3.5% of 8 billion current population. So according to the International Mission Board, most UPGs are concentrated in South Asia, the Middle East, and the Sub-Sahara Africa. So of the 3.2 billion people who are considered UPG, the vast majority, 3.1 billion, reside in the 1040 window. So the world's largest UPG live within this 1040 window. Well, they include in the area like Sahara, Africa, the Middle East, and the Southern Asia. Okay. So there's three reasons that UPG are not engaged. The first reason is that the Bible may not be translated in their native language. So some may have access to scripture, but there's a high value on having the scripture in their mother tongue. So they don't have they don't understand the word. You needed to translate into their language. So I think this organization, you all know, they're doing the translation, but the pace is very slow. So this is the first reason. The second reason there are, is because they have limited access to the gospel. Not so many missionaries there. Finally, this people group have very limited contact with Christians. Well, overall, the individuals in this UPG have no contact with known Christians and therefore do not have access to the Bible and the gospel. In a vast majority of the countries in the 1040 window, research shows that most people are oral learners, and they have a high rate of illiteracy. Therefore, a physical Bible is not as help because they learn better from listening. There are staggering statistics that one in three people in the world do not have access to the internet. This issue, proved to be a greater issue we need to tackle. So these people, they show a preference to learn in a way that they have limited access to. In addition, we need to talk about mission fear concerning UPG and UPGS. That's another a big problem. So one way to look at it is to think a field with a fewer worker and with no worker at all. So with a few worker, like UPGS, but no worker, there is like a UUPG area. So there's only 3% of the missionaries working among the unreached, while 97% of missionaries go on the area already have Christian present. So for us living in the United States, the The good news is that UPGs, they're coming to the U.S. Not only U.S., well, in North Canada, and you know, and this area. So they come from Africa, Asia, Europe, and Middle East. So this is a good opportunity for us. Jesus wants us to outreach all people groups so that every tribe and tongue can worship God. Thus we know that in Revelation, right, Book of Revelation, there's different tongues and peoples can worship the Lord. So that's what in our Lord's mind. So what will it take to accomplish? Well, there are three things you and I can do. Pray, give, go. Well, pray for the salvation of the UPGs. Pray. So there's almost half word out there waiting to hear the great news ever. Don't forget to pray. Pray is very important. Paul asks us to pray continuously. And prayer shows our humbleness before God. I would think when you say we're humble, I think the most important thing is we need to humble before God. We can't, but God can. Second, give. I think we can give whatever, you know. I think it's a lot of people, I think we all give. TROCC, we focus on UPGs. So we give the organization who is focused on this people group. So the third thing we can do is go. Go to these UPGs ourselves. They're almost half word, as mentioned. They're waiting for. So what role will you play to getting the gospel to UPGs? I think it's time for us to really come before the God. In Esther 4:14, it says, let's read together. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. You and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not attained royalty for such a time as this. Now let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for loving us so much and for what you have done for us by sending your beloved son, Jesus, who died for us while we were still sinners. Thank you that you resurrect Jesus on the third day, and we as your children are all reside with your Holy Spirit, who give us the power not only able to control our sin, but also able to be a witness to your Son. Thank you for giving us your words so that we know about you. And what role we will play in the rest of our life. That is to be your witness to make disciples of all nations. We pray urgently for the salvation of enriched people groups. We give joyfully and willingly for our abundant resource here in the United States to the missions focused on the enriched. Or we go to the enriched ourselves when you call us to go. We know that your grace is sufficient for us. We submit our lives to you so that we can be a channel of your grace to many for such time as this. When we depart, may the grace of Jesus Christ and the love of Heavenly Father and the fellowship of Holy Spirit with you all from now on to forever. Amen. Oh, okay. Later.
Shall we all rise? We'll close with Our God Reigns.